Oh, shoot. There's the other one, Patrice. I'm sorry. Oh, man. I forgot to send to the wrong place, wrong chat room.
Stream is ready. Let's start recording here too. Here. Okay, you sent another link somewhere.
I sent the link in the Zoom chat.
I
David sent them all there.
Yeah, I can't. I got it from the Slack. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay, let's post to the Slack room until we are ready. Good. You guys ready?
Always.
Definitely.
Hello and welcome to the Mac Show, the podcast where we talk about everything going on, or like in this case, almost nothing going on in the Apple, like in the Apple news system or news ecosystem. And as always, I have an awesome panel with us. No Ewan this week. He just couldn't make it back from work in time. And Jeff, I don't know. I think he's out like partying with the trash pandas and like everything
Yeah.
else, I guess. So I hope he comes back safe. Let's see. But as I said, I have an awesome panel with us, with me. And starting us off, top left for me is Chuck Joyner. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm great, Patrice. I'm great. I have to wonder though, is did you and Rowie not make it back, or did the mock break down?
Maybe the mic broke down. Yeah, could
Yeah.
happen.
That's the big question in my mind, but hopefully he will be back soon and the mock is safe.
Yeah, he still needs a dishy dish make dish face so he can just stop somewhere on the side of the road and just. There's a stream from there.
Yep, well that's the next upgrade. That's Mach 2
That's Mach
or
2,
something like that. Yeah.
Mach squared.
Mach squared, yeah.
Next to him, we have David Ginsburg. How are you doing?
Doing great. Took the day off today, did some relaxation. Been a long week of work, but glad to be here to talk about Apple stuff.
Talk about Apple stuff. Did you get any good food today?
Not today, no.
Not today. Oh, okay.
We're still hoping to see hear my episode soon, everybody.
Yeah, I'll work on it. I'll work on it this weekend.
I know you're busy.
It's just crazy right now, but I'll try.
No
And
worries.
last but by no means least, we have the man in the storage cupboard, Callum.
Yeah, if you see anyone flip past me carrying a load of motherboards, no one's robbing anything. It's just someone getting some parts to be able to fix a Mac. So yeah, nothing to worry about. But yeah, it's been a busy week here again. Yeah, moving the offices around, getting better laid out, which is good. So looks like we're all set now, and yeah, good. Glad it's all done. So.
That's good to hear. Like your all the moving and merging and so on is going well.
It's a lot of there's just a lot of stuff to do, but yeah, we're doing really well and everyone's really great, so which helps massively, so.
That's good to hear. That's always good to hear. All right, the week in Apple news. I said not too much going on, but one thing that did happen this week is that Apple finally released the announced podcast subscriptions. They've announced it, when was that? Somewhere in May, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like early May, I think. They announced it and it was supposed to happen in May and it didn't. And then Apple said, oh, it's going to be June. And then it didn't. And now it's finally, or it didn't happen in early June at least. Now it's finally here. It's not the most flashy thing, to be honest, but I know quite a few podcasts have been waiting for this. Like it's just yet another revenue stream for a lot of them. I don't know, Chuck. Yeah, I mean, is you interested in all?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you would categorize it that way or introduce it that way, only because it is a potential new revenue stream for a podcast. It's a potential to, you know, do an exclusive pay for kind mm-hmm. of podcast. But it's also, I don't know, I guess I look at it, maybe I'm just being, you know, Pollyanna, but it's another way for someone to support their favorite podcast, whether they want to subscribe if they subscribe in the Apple Store or in the podcast store, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to use that. They can still use the quote unquote public feed, mm-hmm. but it's one more option to support. And I know a lot of us, I mean, I'm still looking at it and considering it. And I've had some really interesting feedback from folks saying, yes, absolutely do it. It's, you know, it's another way for us to support. I've had people say, no, absolutely don't do it because it dilutes your brand, which I'm still not quite sure how that is. You know, I have not gotten a response back as to how it dilutes my brand. I think you need to look at it from both the consumer side, but also from the podcaster side. And by just naturally, all of us, I think, are going to look at it from the podcaster side. But I think we also need to look at it from the other side, that people out there really do want to support you and they're trying to figure out the best ways to do it. This is just one more.
Yeah. And I think it also, it really depends on your podcast. Like if you're a, like, let's say the Mac show, like Apple only, probably everybody listening to it is in the Apple ecosystem, they have all iPhones and whatever. That could work, like that you do, because I mean, Apple subscriptions only work in the podcast app. I don't know about our listeners, like there are a lot of people that like to use third party clients. But if you're in that like general space, like most of your listeners are in the podcast app, you could probably do that and it would be fine. But if you're, I don't know, if you're in a general tech or even on the Android side, then that's maybe not the best choice for you.
Yeah, I think what it does, and I think, which is a really good thing for listeners, and I think it's a really good thing for podcasters as well, it makes it easy for people to pay you. It's a platform that people are comfortable with. Yeah. They're comfortable using Apple Pay and all of the cards and whatnot they'll have in it. I think I can't see any drawbacks to it from an Apple, you know, an Apple user mm-hmm. listening to a podcast point of view, because it's a trusted platform. You don't have to go onto a website and do it. It's all done through the app, and I think it'll be a really good thing, and another feature that's probably a little bit overdue, but. I can't really see too many drawbacks.
And I mean, there is no agreement that the content has to be exclusive. Like you can literally, I don't know, either put it on your public feed or you can like have another service like Memberful, for example, put it there, or Patreon, or it does not have to be in podcasts only. It's just, as you said, one way to really conveniently get your content out there and get people to support you.
Yeah, I'm still exploring that whole concept. I have not had anything paid just yet for my podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something to be looked at. My only concern is, I think with the Apple podcasts, you do have to maintain a separate feed, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't really spent a lot of time looking at it just yet, but it does add a little extra work into that, which of course, you know, it could be rewarding and could not be rewarding. Of course, Apple's taking 30%. So, but it does give you great options to be able to add a lot of content that you want, that you may want to add, that's value added to that's not on your public feed. But I agree. It's definitely another place that may, much easier. I look at the analytics of my podcast and I think majority of who listens to my podcast are using the Apple Podcast app. So there might be an idea. There may be something we could come up with. So.
Yeah, I think I've heard that from others like Mark Armand and some other people that have talked about their stats. That the, like, you, I mean, they're all on the Apple like area in general.
Right.
And they have a good like 50-60% at least listening on podcasts. So it's not like it's not completely out of the realm of possibilities.
One other thing too, it still remains interesting how Apple's strategy fits into what some of the others have done. Spotify, purchased podcasts and to be Spotify exclusives. Mm-hmm. Apple didn't go that route. They may be developing things in conjunction with Apple TV, but that's a whole nother discussion. But by making the podcast store the way they have, it means that those folks who felt they really wanted to charge, but up to this point didn't have an option to do so, mm-hmm. and might be incentivized to go to places that required charging, now they have that option.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of like that because it does pull people to podcasting in general and to Apple's podcast platform specifically. Right. Mm-hmm. So like so many of these stories, you have to look at it from a lot of different angles because there are so many different interests represented.
Mm. No, I mean, I think they've done, I mean, let's call it in the podcast in the widest sense. I think they've done some Apple Music exclusive content, which probably didn't even show up in podcasts at all, but like you could call it a podcast. But famously, like the Apple News Today podcast, for example, is just a standard podcast, standard feed. Any client anywhere can use it. There's no specialty to it. So, and I mean, that came out, what was that, November last year or something? So that was like for sure with the knowledge in mind that they would have a subscription service. So I think the strategy here is, as you said, like still to be seen, I would say. I mean, I think it is a way for Apple to provide a trusted membership program. For that to work, I think there's still some pieces missing. And I hope Apple listens to everybody and opens that up, like APIs, for example, so that you could could provide other stuff outside, like, I don't know, like a Discord server or like Slack or whatever you want to do, and somehow verify that someone has access or provide even a public feed, but have it authenticated, for example. But I think it's not a bad starting point because, as you said, what Apple provides is this trusted system.
And Patrice, you kind of skirted over, not exactly skirted over, but sort of touched on an issue there, mm-hmm. that there is the privacy issue with Apple. Mm-hmm. I mean, Overcast, Marco Arment made a big thing of being able in Overcast, if you subscribe to a podcast, you can tell who's tracking you. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's not a big thing. Like if they wanted to listen to the Mac show, well, I'm not sure that anybody's going to worry about being tracked listening to the Mac show. But if you were talking about a podcast about a particular disease or condition, mm-hmm. or something like that, that you are hypersensitive about, you might not want to, you know, take that. I'm not sure how much of a chance it is, but it's still, you know, it's somebody tracking you. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, you can be assured that it's between you and Apple has such a terrific track record of not sharing things.
Yeah.
That once more, there's another aspect to it that you have to look at when making a choice as to what client to use and even what service to use.
Yeah. Wasn't it even, I think they changed something there recently. Where I think the requests, like the download requests, are not going directly from the device to your servers anymore. They're going through Apple now. Probably
that's what I understand.
For that reason, yeah.
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 So one more thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely.
There's someone else providing podcasts. And I'm laughing because who would have thought? I mean, no, I'm taking it back. I think a lot of people would have thought that Facebook would do it, but who needs it? Who wants Facebook to have podcasts?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think that makes quite a bit of sense, actually. I think that worked. No, I do. I could be having a Thunderbolt display moment, so stop me if I get there. But, I think, you know, there's certainly when I go on Facebook, which is relatively rare, to be honest, but when I do go on and you get a, and you come across a video that you could quite happily listen to as audio, and it's a long video, and it's people talking about an issue or subject or going through something, I could quite happily see a button where you go switch to podcast mode and you put it in your pocket and listen to it rather than having to sit there watching it on your phone. I think if they're going to do it like that, I think that could tie in quite well. They probably won't do it like that. They'll probably do it completely differently. But I can see how it could work well. They'll probably not do it like that.
Yeah.
Cal, it's interesting though. My first reaction to what you started to say there was, open the door. You're out of oxygen in the closet. But then, you know, I admit it. I published Mac Voices on Facebook. And I published the video. I published the video version. Of course, you know, yeah, you could always turn that off. And I publish it in a way that I upload the video to Facebook so that you aren't kicked away from Facebook if you want to watch it. So maybe I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I view it as a promotional thing and a way to connect to people. So, you know, maybe
So it would probably be very useful to you to be able to either have a way to just have the audio from that video or upload an audio file with it and have a button that says, I want to listen to it as a podcast. Maybe put the phone in the pocket and go to work and listen to it on the train or whatever.
You're absolutely right. It very well may be another place for someone to consume the show in an audio only mode, but I honestly, until you started saying that, I really hadn't thought about it in exactly that way. Because naturally, the first thing you think is, okay, privacy. You know, if they're watching this show or they're watching that show, Facebook knows about it and is going to feed them more things. So you know, okay, fine. Maybe you find my show on Facebook, and then decide to subscribe somewhere else where you can be a little more short of privacy, or it's more convenient, or whatever. So, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it first sounds.
I don't think it's bad because my podcast and yours too, Chuck, are in many other places in the feeds. I mean, Odyssey and Podbean and Stitcher and Spotify. And we want to be listed in all these places because there might be opportunities for us to get other listeners that may not be aware of the podcast. And if anything Facebook is going to do for us is give us some value. You got billions of Facebook users. If they're going to start using podcasts with their service, so why not? I mean, I'm not concerned about privacy. My podcast page on Facebook. I do post things on there, and I would also share my links every day, every time on Facebook. Whenever I go live and we do a live feed, just like Chuck does, I'm doing it on YouTube, but I do also share the feed on the Facebook page. And so, I think it's just another place, and I think it's kind of nice to have Facebook as a place that you can have in addition to probably the 10 or 15 other places I'm listed for my podcast to find me.
Something I haven't seen, but David's point so well taken, but in most of those cases, we didn't apply for those. At least I didn't. I better not speak for David, but I didn't apply for those because I had a public feed that was out there, an RSS feed on the site. They came along, scraped it, sucked it up, put it in theirs and said, great. I'm fine with that because, again, I never know who's going to be where, and I would prefer to be everywhere, at least with, you know, the regular version of Mac Voices to be discovered. Yeah. So will Facebook do that? Will they go out and scrape for public feeds and then add them to their podcast service directory, whatever they are going to call it? I don't know.
Sure. I'm sure they will because the Spotify did it. And then I just went and created the account so I could get more, generate more traffic. And, you know, I just took this time to go to each of the services just to see what, you know, what the way it looks. And, you know, some I participated in, others, they just grabbed it. So as long as you're in iTunes, you're in the iTunes store listed with Apple. And I think most of those services are grabbing that right away through there. That's probably where your first point of contact is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, Facebook wants you to spend as much time as possible on Facebook. So
that too.
For sure, they want to have people in there. They're also offering a feature called Clips. We've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Basically, it allows the creators, whoever that is, to promote their podcast with like a short clip. So I hope that your podcast is not on Facebook, that you could do that, because that would be awesome. But we'll see.
Well, Patrice, you're a podcaster too. I mean, how do you feel about having your show on Facebook? On Facebook.
I think I'm with you. Like, I mean, it's public, so I don't care. Like, if there are people on as long as Facebook doesn't restrict it in any way and anybody can get it, I don't care. Like, because it's another listener for me. And if for someone it's easier to go to Facebook and listen to it there, sure, okay, more power to them. Like, I'm not going to force someone to download a podcast app or use Apple Podcasts if they prefer Facebook. Simple as that. Like, I mean, it's kind of like public radio. Like, it's for everybody to consume however they want to consume it.
Oh, so plus 5 for Callum then.
Yeah. Plus 5 for Callum. Absolutely, Cal. You made us all think a little bit. Good job.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. Let's talk about something not as fun, or at least not as fun for Apple. Let's see. There's a lot of antitrust stuff going on anywhere in the world. Like, the EU is looking into it. I think the UK is looking into it. The US for sure is looking into what Apple is doing, or Apple and Google especially. There is a vote on a new antitrust package in the US happening, where they're gonna kind of force Apple and Google to not install apps or pre-install apps, like at least no apps that have competition in their stores on the devices by default. So no, I don't know, what would that be? No maps, for example. Probably no podcast app, because they're a podcast app competition. No music app, stuff like that. So I mean, who was that? Microsoft, I think, who had to do that famously, like 20 years ago, like not install Internet Explorer on all their
Windows with Netscape.
PC. Yeah, probably more than 20 years by now, I guess. When was that?
Yeah, there was the big argument whether Explorer was a part of the operating system, mm-hmm. or whether it was an application.
Yeah, exactly. So this is definitely not a new move. Personally, I'm okay. I mean, I can understand Apple's standpoint here to say we want to provide a good default. I think for the most part, the apps are not that competitive, I think, on purpose. Like, their mail app is boring and simple and doesn't do much. But I think that's on purpose. It's not that Apple couldn't make a really awesome mail app if they wanted to. It's that they chose to leave that to the third parties and not compete with them. And just provide a good, boring default that works for some people.
I'm a little bit torn with it as to if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing, because on the plus side, I think prompting people to make the choice, I think, mm-hmm. is really good, because it means they're going to get something that's more tailored to themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going to sit there and realize, oh, actually, there isn't just the mail app, for example. There are 15 apps, one of which could do everything I want it to. And it's going to prompt people to go and want to look for it. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that irks me a little bit, the huge plus point that's always been there for Apple, is ease of use. Mm-hmm. That you can get it out of the box and within 10 minutes. 10, 15 minutes. You can have everything set up, including your iCloud, your fingerprint, your face ID, whatever it is, and everything is there ready for you. And if you're going to go down that route, you're going to have a device that's half working that you can't have emails on, you can't listen to music on straight away. So I think it's a difficult one, because I think, yeah, I'm a little bit torn as to if it's a good thing or not. But
I mean, on the other hand, how many people are still switching or new to the platform? That's the question. Yeah. Like, how many people get that first experience? Because most people have probably already made the decision.
Well, but the counter argument to that would be then just leave all the default apps, because everyone's already made the decision anyway.
That's true.
So, I'm torn. It's a real tough one, you know, because is it a good thing or not? Because, you know, we're all sitting here going, yeah, it's a good thing, because we've all made these choices and we know what we're talking about to a certain extent anyway. And I think, you know, for someone who isn't aware of those choices, that's going to be an absolute minefield to get everything set up for them and to find something that works, and knowing what's a good app and what's not. And then all the privacy comes into it. Is it a secure app that they're downloading and that sort of stuff as well? So there's a huge minefield attached to it. But yeah.
I think you're hitting a point there. I mean, it's forcing a choice on someone who maybe does not want to even choose. Like, they don't want to think about I'm assuming we're the kind of people who think about, like, what's the best mail app for us and try 17 of them and ultimately decide that all of them are crap. But a lot of people don't want to make a choice at all. They just want to have something that works, and that's good enough. And they don't want to think about it. I mean,
we get a lot of customers come into us. We have people where we'll sell them a refurbished phone or a new phone or whatever, and then we'll sit down with them for half an hour and get everything sorted out for them, get all their emails on there and whatnot. And what we see from a lot of those people is, I just want it to work. I don't want to sit there and start comparing features between Spark and another email client or whatever. I just want to put my emails on, and I want to walk away and be able to use it in half an hour. I don't want to have to sit there and think about it, because most people don't. They just want their emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bob Beach is bringing up, it's not just about the built-in app, so it's probably not about mail and maps and so on. It's probably more about the apps that, well, technically cost you something, like music.
Right.
Where there is a, I mean, you can technically use the music app without a subscription, but yeah, that's extremely limited by now, like nowadays.
I mean, and then with Apple, and for many years, you couldn't even remove these apps. I mean, they just changed that a few years ago. So at least now we have the option, if there's an app you're not using, like if you don't subscribe to Apple Music, then delete it if you don't use it. And others, I mean, there's at least you have that option now, because you didn't before. I could see why we'd be talking about this now, because if Apple didn't give that option, you know, why should I be stuck with these apps? I don't want them.
We all had that folder with the apps that we didn't care about.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, we would create that folder of not used, because you could remove them. But I guess the whole point of this is, okay, so when a device is turned on for the first time to set up, give them the option. Do you want to install these apps? I mean, okay, I think that's a fair assessment, but instead of forcing the apps to be installed, because as we all know, when all of us here have set up devices many, many times, they download as soon as you finish the setup. I mean, I've set up iPhones where I don't even sign in with the Apple ID and skip it just to get the device set up. There goes the download of the apps. You don't even have to do it, because it does it. So I can see the point, but I don't know. I think Congress is reaching a little bit on this, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
Congress is reaching a lot. Yeah. I mean, this has
from
to
the
be
fine state of Rhode Island.
This has to be one of the single dumbest ideas, because trying to find an analogy is really difficult. But Apple has built the whole widget, That's, I mean, that's to Cal's point. Yeah, they just want it to work. And so if I have to go through, and Apple has so many built-in apps now that do so many different things that maybe I didn't know what I wanted to do. Shortcuts is the best example I can think of. Shortcuts is built in. All right. But if I'm a new Apple person or a new phone buyer, and I see, okay, these are the 27 apps I should download. Well, Shortcuts, what's that do? Nah, I don't want to do, automation. Well, no, oh my God, no, that's not for me. And, so they are degrading the product automatically right out of the box. There's going to be an opportunity for a lot of us to start publishing lists of our preferred apps. But
again,
but why does anyone have the right to tell Apple that they shouldn't put this app on? I'm with David. You know, let me take it off. Yeah, I don't want it occupying my device or providing a potential vector for security issues. But to say that I can't do that, I mean, you know, if I go to buy a new car, you know, I'm not even sure I have a choice of the car radio anymore.
You can not find a car, but that's about it.
Aftermarket.
Yeah, exactly. But same thing here. So, shouldn't I have the right to choose what radio I want in my car? And shouldn't I have the right to choose, you know, whether I want rich Corinthian leather or fabric? They do give me that choice, but it's not like I can say, hey, I want this third-party fabric that, I think is really great. I get a selection of it. And that's all I get. And then that's probably the worst analogy I've come up with. But the idea that you are going to make this device that Apple has created less functional for the average user just drives me out of my mind. And I cannot figure out the logic of the people that think that this is a good idea, other than to just this constant thing of everybody has the right to be everywhere and know everything and have access to you as the consumer all the time.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a bad solution for what is a problem. I mean, there is a problem with Apple competing with others on, well, honestly, not fair grounds. And you can argue on either side and say, well, it's fine because Apple created the thing, and you can say, no, it's not fair. But as I said, I'm thinking music, I'm thinking Apple TV Plus. Apple does not compete like on fair grounds there. Like if Spotify wants to have a subscription from the iPhone, they have to pay, well, depending on what it is, 15 or 13, 30%. Right. Apple does not pay that. Like if they sell you Apple Music, which is from the manufacturer of the device, so it has already, I would say, a little bit more prominent placement to begin with, but then like even on the money they don't compete.
Yeah,
so, I think that's the problem that someone is trying to solve. I mean, politics aside, there's also that whole angle, but there is a problem. I think I don't know what the answer is.
No, I think as well you make a really good point there, because I've been focusing on Safari and the Mail app and that sort of thing. Yeah. But the reality is I do fresh installs on phones every week, and I see the apps that get downloaded. Yeah. And as a standard on there, you get the music app, which is Apple Music. You get Apple TV Plus, you get iMovie, and a couple of others, which are paid for apps. So it's not particularly fair. Oh, I want to listen to some music. I've got this app right here already. There isn't Spotify there or Deezer or any of the others. It's Apple Music, and it's going direct to them. That's a problem. I think web clients and mail clients are a touch different, because by and large they're free. You can pay for more, more feature heavy premium ones, but by and large they're free. So There is definitely an issue there, but I don't think dictating what you can and can't have on a phone is the way to go. I think Chuck made a really good point. You don't walk into, a restaurant and say, I've seen you've got this on the menu, but I want you to add this, and you pass them whatever you pass them. That's not how it works. There is a set.
Bob Beach said, I don't want Ford's engine in my Ford. I mean, the difference is you could technically go to a garage and have it replaced. So try that with an iPhone.
And if you wanted to do that afterwards, look, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, people, you know, buy Macs from the App Store and they come to us and get a RAM upgrade because we're cheaper. Mm-hmm. And they get SSDs later down the line and stuff like that. You know, you can happily go and do that. Absolutely no problem. But I can't imagine you can walk into Apple with a box of RAM and say, can you pop that in my Mac because it's cheaper than what it says on the website? That's not how it works.
I think they used to do that with SSDs, by the way, but I think I've seen some people do.
But Patrice, I have to argue with your thinking a little bit because Apple built this device, okay? Spotify didn't build a device. You know, okay, Android, the Android folks build their devices. If they choose to take a cut, then okay, they choose to take a cut. Apple chooses to take a cut. But the idea that Apple created the device and it allowed Spotify to, you know, I mean, Spotify screamed loud and long, oh my God, we have to be on the iPhone, you know, or we don't have a business. So they put them on the iPhone. Oh no, now Apple is competing with us directly. Wait a minute, Apple lets you in the store. You know, if you go in the grocery store, you know that those companies have paid money to have their products on the end caps.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not even sure that in a lot of cases that they don't pay the chains. I mean, there are a couple, this is a terrible example, but I'll do it anyway. There are a couple different deli meat brands over here. If you go to one grocery store, you can get this brand. If you go to the other grocery store, you can get this brand, but you can't go to too many grocery stores and find both of them together. And that's because somebody somewhere paid for the right to put those deli meats in that meat case. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just the way that it is. They paid, and the grocery store is the one, you know, that is providing the forum for the deli meats. So, you know, they deserve a cut of it. It makes me crazy.
But it gets interesting when the grocery store has their own brand of deli meat that they sell for a discounted price. I mean, you still have a choice as a customer, but it's still not a fair competition at that point.
And also, as well, we haven't encountered a grocery store that says, I'm going to open my front doors and I'm only going to sell my own brand products. Because that is essentially what Apple are doing. I know you can go out and bring more in, which is why it's a bit of a flawed analogy. But ultimately, the way it's been looked at, and I'm not sure if it's completely correct, but it's been looked at as you've opened your grocery stores, the doors are open, and you walk in, and it's only that grocery store's products. There's no branded stuff. There's no Spotify. It's just yours, and you're going to make more money off it because it's your own product.
Cal, thank you. That's a great point. But Apple has not said that. Apple has said that, give us 30% and you can be in the deli case right beside ours. Mm-hmm. And that goes for Spotify and that goes for anybody else that wants to have a podcast service. And so, you know, if they were locking people out, I'd kind of be with you and say, you know, not the way it should be done. But the fact that, yeah, they're there, they built the platform. If Spotify wants to create a device and then charge Apple 30% to put Apple Music on it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But they haven't done it. And nobody else has. Only Android and maybe a couple other smaller players have done anything like that. And why can't they charge? Because they're desperate to get somebody on the platform because it's an inferior platform.
Yeah,
it's a real tough one.
it is a difficult topic.
Very tough.
Yeah, one, because hardware and software are like physical products and software are different. But also because, yeah, it's like, I don't think there is a clear answer. I still don't know where I personally stand on it. Like a lot of times I'm with Apple and you can say, well, because I'm for Apple and I'm a fangirl or whatever. But I also see the problems in the competition. And I mean, let's be fair, the competition is mostly like big million, billion dollar companies. Like Facebook and Apple or Epic and Apple, or I'm guessing Spotify is also making a lot of money, and Apple. So it's hard to really to really empathize with any of them, because they're multi-billion dollar companies and they haggle over who makes more money.
So let's take this to the next logical step. Let's say this legislation passes. So Apple cannot pre-install any apps on its phone or its iPads. Okay. That also should mean that Windows machines cannot install any of their apps on any of their machines.
Here's an interesting one for you with that as well. Does that mean they can't have the App Store on their phone? Because there's more than one App Store.
Good question.
Well, that's almost a whole different discussion.
but this is the territory you're going down, and there becomes a fine line of actually, are we, as we've said throughout, are we taking away from what we as the user get, or is it a case of actually it's kind of fair as it is? I don't think it is completely fair, but I don't think because it's 5% unfair, we should go 50%. You know, unfair. It's all very strange, but you can,
What
are you talking? Go ahead, Patrice.
No, go ahead.
Well, but you're talking about taking devices like this that have been, regardless of the platform, you know, you fire them up and they are ready to go, and they walk you through using them and knowing what's there and being able to do it to, I'm going to have a computer land on my. I'm going to go and buy a computer, and I'm going to fire it up, and it's going to, the Windows logo is going to pop up, or the Apple's logo is going to pop up, and then there I sit. What can I do with this machine? I feel like we're back to 1995, maybe back to the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had to install everything. And I don't think that these legislators seem to understand.
They don't. This.
They're so hung up in the politics of fairness that they're losing sight of the fact that we need these devices to do what they do, the way they do it. And the average person, I mean, they are the average person. They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, would it be an interesting thing to do? If you're going down that route and they're talking about fairness, I think it'd be really interesting if Apple or whoever made a device with no pre-installed apps, handed it to them and said, go on then. Go on then, use it. Do what you've got to do.
And maybe that's a solution. Apple just offers another option on the store where you can say, come with, like, it comes with apps or it comes without, and you just choose. Like, could be an option. I think it is worth the discussion. I mean, politics aside, because some of it is probably just politics and having something to talk about and something to argue about. But there is de facto in the smartphone business, there are only two players left. Three if you count the was it Huawei, I think, in China? Then you have maybe three. But I see in the Western world, there are only two options, and they're kind of more or less the same. So I can definitely see that someone says, it might not be a monopoly because nobody is big enough for that, but it's close to it. And to have a look at it and see whether there is something that should be done that maybe is not being done. And we've seen all the changes that Apple and Google have made already, I think, as a reaction to that. I think that's a good thing. Like, whatever the outcome is and however terrible it is, I think that someone is looking at it and that we have this discussion that we're having right now, I think is a good thing. To decide also what we want.
I'm going to exercise my Apple fanboy just a little bit here, but... Okay, if we're having this discussion about iPhones and all, why haven't we been having this discussion about Windows, which is
We did about 20 years ago.
Yeah, but notice how it's Apple who is getting targeted here and not Windows, which has a lot more dominant position, a lot larger market share in their market than than Apple does. I mean, we've had this discussion before about, you know, the iPhone is not a monopoly because it doesn't even have a majority market share. And yet all of a sudden, Apple's the one under the gun because of just a couple companies who claim that they can't compete or are not being treated fairly.
Yeah. And I mean, that part is probably, as I said, pretty transparent. It's about like them making more money. Like I said, it's like big billion-dollar companies just arguing about who makes more money. Like that's where I can't really sympathize.
Yeah. Magic Man.
I think
I love this. Magic Man says just like to hear themselves bleat and make some money. I love the word bleat. Thank you, Magic Man. I'm going to use that other places.
Yeah. And I think Magic Man is also right. Apple is the biggest company in the world, and just someone in politics need their pound of flesh. That's how it works. Apple knows.
That's right. That's right. And I think ultimately, if this is going to go the way that it looks like it might go, it's the consumer that's going to be affected the most.
Yeah, what about all the crapware that all these laptop vendors put stuff on too? I mean, you got that as well. You know, not only Windows, but I mean, you're dealing with Lenovo and Dell and many of these others. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as it was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, but it's the same thing. Why should we be subjected to having all that stuff we don't want? I don't want McAfee. I don't want Norton. Why do you install this on my machine? I don't want it.
Let's talk, let's do one more story and talk about something more interesting that's happening. They both are interesting. We've seen Safari 15 in the Apple keynote last week? It feels like forever. I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah, it's only a week
ago. Wow.
So we've seen it in the videos, and some people have been able to test it in the betas, like all the developers, including me. But now, if you want to try it, it's also out with the standard Safari technology preview program. And yeah, I wanted to know, have you tried it, or are you interested in trying it? What do you think?
I'll probably give it a try over the weekend. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm hoping I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. But the layout doesn't work for me. I like, personally, in a browser, the fewer buttons is the better, and everything to be where it's meant to be all of the time. Nothing moving around or... No, I can't cope with the URL bar. It doesn't work for me at all.
Someone on Twitter said the fact that there's a switch in the background, how you can deactivate it, is telling you that it might actually go away again.
Right, they're not
100% sure it's going to ship the way it is right now. So, yeah.
I want to try it. I mean, I have not yet, and I won't put it on a production machine. But, yeah, I do want to try it. I think, you know... I personally like some of the interface experiments that some companies do, because I think that, you know, by doing that, you find out things that, gee, I wouldn't have thought it worked better for me this way, but it does. So I'm not as opposed to it. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of being able to turn it off if it doesn't work for me. One more experiment Apple's running that I will participate in.
Yeah, the cool thing about technology preview is you can install it in parallel. So you can have your standard Safari and you can have technology preview, and you can just try it and then just close it and be done with it. So it does not. You can even run it on your production machine. It doesn't really hurt you.
I'm definitely with Chuck there. I'm a huge fan of the off button.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give it a chance, and you have to see whether it works for you. And I'm 100% convinced the way it is right now in the first beta, I said we've only seen it for a week, is probably not how it's going to ship. Whether they completely deactivate it, whether they just tweak it. Apple is very good at doing experiments like that and getting feedback and then adjusting and saying, I don't know, like the moving bar just disappears because people hated it. Like the general layout stays, but the moving address bar just doesn't do it anymore. Stuff like that. They're really very quick, changing UI elements. So Yeah, I'm honestly getting used to it to some extent. I'm still not a big fan of it. Like, there are some things where it's like it. I don't know what it is, honestly. It is harder for me to recognize a tap. And even if it's only 3 out of 4, like I have, like what I really like is the tap groups, and I've used that. But even if you have 4 tabs open, it's for me, for some reason, harder than before to recognize which tab is which. And that is not a good thing. I like the space that they saved, and I think that's not a bad idea. Yeah, I don't like pull to refresh, to be honest. Doesn't even work on some websites, so that's the other part. Yeah.
Have you played with the groups? I mean, I started messing with the groups a little bit. I kind of like a little bit.
Yeah, I actually
I've been a Firefox user for a long time, but as my primary browser, so it's, you know, they're evolving as well. And then, you know, Edge is on available. So, I mean, that's a nice thing. You got so many different browsers you can try, but I'm giving Apple some kudos of, I think Safari's coming a lot longer way than many of the browsers are, but you know, but that does take something to get used to.
Yeah. Yeah. What, I mean, there are other really cool features that you're getting, like, the web extensions that actually already work. Like there are some extensions already out there that work on iOS. Yeah. So it's, overall, the experience with the new Safari is better. It's just that little thing that's kind of a little bit annoying. I like the tab groups, to be honest. Like, I think, is everybody like aware what they do? I think we had the discussion last week, right?
I think we got there in the end with it.
Yeah, to have all, you know, the most commonly visited sites that you go to all the time right there at your fingertips is pretty cool. I'm looking at it right now on the machine I'm running Monterey Beta on, and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the workspaces aspect because that's exactly how I use Safari a lot. Like I have multiple windows, and each one of them is kind of a workspace in itself. So. Might actually save some windows for me. Yeah. It's not too much. As I said, it's out there. Technology preview 126. You can just download it. There's a download somewhere.
And Patrice, thank you, because I did not realize that I could run them in parallel. Mm-hmm. So that makes me a lot more comfortable with putting it on something that, you know, and not having to worry about it, me trashing it. So
yeah, it's, I mean, I like to run betas in general, but like this machine is my work machine, so I'm more careful there, and I'll go more stock. But technology preview is one of the things I've installed always. And as I said, if something doesn't work, I'll just switch back to the normal Safari.
Okay. And a good thing is you can run it on Big Sur as well as Monterey. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
definitely.
This podcast.
Everybody go try it and let us know how you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the reason why Apple is doing this, like even in the technology preview. They could just say, no, it's only on the betas and you just wait for the public beta. I think they want feedback. They want to see, like, I mean, you know, like sometimes there's a vocal minority that just hates it and is very vocal about it. And it's hard to tell, is that like everybody or is that just like a few people that are just grumpy or like, oh, they don't like change or like it just doesn't work for them, which is also fine. So it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure Apple is looking for feedback. And they have a good 2 months to change it. So if something doesn't work, they can always roll it back. Roll it back, refine it, roll it out later. This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network is supported by TSO Host. They give us some really, really cool hardware, 2 really nice servers with a lot of storage and power and RAM and everything, so that we can run the shows and the website and like all the downloads and like everything we do off of them. And the cool thing is, all they want from us for that is a little brand recognition. They don't want They don't want you to buy anything. I mean, they're not going to argue with you if you want to buy like a domain name or a server or, yeah, one of the other things that they offer from them. Like, they're obviously not going to argue with that. But it's not required. Like, they're not forcing you to buy something if you want to, or if you don't want to this way. but yeah, they want brand recognition. So just head over to your social network of choice, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. Mention that TSR host. Thank them for supporting us, and that's all they want. They have really good customer service as well. We've had one issue in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and they've been really, really awesome. But I've watched them on Twitter, and I've seen they're really responsive and helpful, and it's not the usual chicken game that other supports play, where it's like, oh, it's not our problem, or you don't get a response for like 7 weeks, and then all of a sudden someone comes out and says, oh, there was a problem. They're really, really good, and we couldn't do this without them, so I'm really thankful for that. And the other supporter is Iamond Max, and since we have Callum here, I'll let Callum explain what Iamond Max does.
Yeah, so we fix Macs. We fix any Apple product.
We've got two engineers.
No, we've got two engineers now, so we could even do the ones with cloth on. Plenty of options there for everyone. We fix anything with an Apple logo on. You can buy new products from us. You can buy refurbished from us. You can even lease business equipment from us as well. So lots of different options, and we can help you out with pretty much everything.
That's very nice that you're doing business leasing now. Like, that's a really awesome option for a lot of businesses, because you don't have to buy it and own it and sell it later. You just pay your monthly fee, which is tax-wise, I think, also in most countries, much better. Because it's just a running cost. It's not something you own. So that's pretty cool. Do you have... there was a question in the chat whether you have any refurbished M1s yet.
Touch early for refurbished M1s, we do have plenty of refurbished stock in. So if you head over to imandmax.com, click on our refurbished button on our website, everything we've got is on there. If you drop us an email, mention BTM before you check out, you get 5% off whatever the list price is. Everything is on there. So have a look, and if there's anything you want, let us know.
I think at this point, at least, if there's anything of refurbished, it's directly from Apple. So that's just a little early for that.
Just a touch fresh. By about a year, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe the next couple of months, like when the first Macs reach the year mark, could happen.
Could.
All right. Time for the cool thing. Chunk, start us off.
Okay, this isn't going to cost you any money until you use it. But I'm not sure if you're familiar with the website Camel 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 that tracks prices on Amazon. But they have a browser extension. Ironically, for this discussion, it's not available for Safari, but it is available for Chrome, Edge, Firefox, and Opera. It's called the Camelizer, and it gives you instant access to their web pricing charts. So you can see how whatever the price is on Amazon right now compares to what it's been over the past several months. And that makes sure it gets the best deals. I felt like this was a really timely thing, given that we're headed toward Amazon Prime Day next week. So if you have things that you're looking at, you may want to install this extension, and that way you can get a good quick look at what the pricing history has been, and whether it really is a good deal right now, whether it's at its lowest price, or maybe it might behoove you to wait just a little bit and see if it goes lower. So I've been running it now for a little while. I've had absolutely no problems with it, and it makes it just so much simpler to track and look up something that maybe not an impulse buy, but something you've been thinking about. The Camel 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 site lets you set up alerts for prices. You can do that now right within Camelizer. So go check it out. It may save you some money. It also may help you spend some money. So that's my fair warning.
That's funny.
You need this, Cal. Trust me, you need this.
I tell you what, Chuck. Almost every week, you bring something on, and it's just. Can you save it? Oh. So much money. It's always Chuck's picks as well, because that is really a really clever pick. Because there's always stuff, and you look at it, and you go, "There's not an offer on. Should I wait?" And.
I think Chuck does that on purpose. He just selects the things that Callum wants to buy.
Yeah, well, we have to stimulate the economy, Cal. Come on.
That's true.
David. I'm not a personal economy, but yeah.
Well, you just have to ask Joe for a raise, I would say. David, what's your cool thing?
I found this app. I thought it was kind of cool. It's an app called PWD. It's a very, very simple password generator. And I know we have 1Password and many password managers, but there might be sometimes you want to have just this very simple app that you just launch, and it's just a very simple interface. It allows you to be able just to generate a quick password for a place or a site or whatever you need to do. And you can do a lowercase, uppercase, digits, symbols, and change the length however you want. Just very, very simple little app. And I thought this was a cool developer to do this. And it's absolutely free. And it's just called PWD. And check it out. I think that was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. PWD, somehow that jogs my mind. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very, very simple app. The developer put together a password generator and just a quick way. Because, you know, 1Password, you got to go through a few steps to get to it. This is just a quick way to create one, and you can copy, paste it right back into it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. All right, Callum, what's your cool thing?
I don't have a link for my cool thing because it's not something you go and download. And interesting, we've been talking about pre-installed apps today. I'm going to talk about what I think is a really good one anyway. Migration Assistant. I think it's a very, very underrated app. We use a third-party app most of the time called Carbon Copy Cloner just because it's quicker and it's got less steps in it. But we've had a few machines in the past couple of weeks where they've had OS issues, and Carbon Copy Cloner and a couple of other cloning methods we've tried just hasn't done it. So we've configured it so we can basically migrate it to a service drive and clone it back over. And it does a really good job when the OS is corrupt of basically isolating the user's data, the applications, the library folder, all of the safe passwords. And it just takes them over, and it takes them over seamlessly and without getting loads of keychain errors and all of the other stuff you get when you have a corrupt drive you try to fix. So, I think it's a really underrated one. And if you're getting a new Mac and want to transfer over, it's really good the way it works as well. So, Migration Assistant, one that's been around forever, but a good one, definitely.
Definitely, yes. It's always, has been for forever a really helpful app. Okay, my cool thing, actually the thing I wanted to pick, I have in my bag out in the entrance, so I couldn't get it. So I'm going to pick the thing that it's for, which is I got the little AirTags the other day. I ordered them, I think, like 2 weeks ago, and it was like they were supposed to be delivered end of June. And then, yeah. Apple shipped them way early, which is really cool. I got them engraved, so they took a little while. I really like them. Like, they're little. They're like, they feel sturdy. Like I've had tiles in my hand and some other competitors, and I don't know. They always felt a little weird and flimsy. This feels like pretty solid, which, I mean, typical Apple, I would say. I don't want to know how they're gonna look after 2-3 weeks in my handbag, but that's fine. I don't care. Like, it's a product that's being used, so if it's scratched up, that's okay. But what I really liked is the setup was super easy. Like, typical Apple, I mean, there are instructions here, like, on this thing. I didn't even read that. Because, I mean, all you do is you remove the little plastic around it, and it like pulls out that little tab that basically releases the battery. And then you hold it up to your iPhone and it says connect, and you tap connect, and then after, I don't know, a minute or so, it's done. That's all there is. So, and it takes you, like, it asks you whether you want to go to the Find My app right away. So, did that. I've tried it a little bit, like walked around with it and like left it in the apartment and went downstairs and it told you, hey, you forgot your bag. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, it's, as I said, it's not the most flashy Apple product ever. I just like them, and like they're, I wouldn't say reasonably priced for the quality. Like, they're not cheap, they're not expensive, they're kind of in the right mix in between. So, AirTags, highly recommended.
I can add a little something to your AirTags. Warren, and my co-host on In Touch with iOS, yesterday we just published an episode today. His dog Lola, he had an AirTag on his dog, mm-hmm. so he can keep track of his dog. Somehow Lola got to the tag and was able to bite it.
Oh no!
it's got teeth marks in it, and it's completely, I mean, there's a picture on Facebook about it is pretty mangled, but it was still working. But then he decided to unpair it and then just repair it back. You can't get it to pair now. So, of course, Apple did put the disclaimer where you should not be using this for your dog, you know, more so mm-hmm. for probably liability reasons, but, but somehow the dog, I mean, he had a little chang on it, and it was on her collar, and she got to it. So buyer beware if you were going to use it for your dog.
Yeah. One smart dog, like, get to that.
Patrice, why don't you test that? Why don't you bite the AirTag and see if you know.
Here, I got it right here.
And then pair it on pair it and see what happens.
No. I mean, we do have good dental here in Austria, but...
That's right. I was just about to say, bite it and see how big the dentist bill is. I bet it's more than the AirTag costs.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
Let's leave that. No. All right, gentlemen. Thanks for being here, as always. And Chuck, tell the good people where they can find you.
MacVoices.com is where you can find everything I do. Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we do Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. We'd love to have you join us there. And on pretty much all the social networks, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for hosting, Patrice. Glad we were able to pull it together.
Yeah, me too. Short notice. David, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. Just published a new episode today. Go give that a listen. I'm also on Mac Voices Live, as Chuck mentioned, every Tuesday night with our gang. We have a lot of fun on that show, and come join us there. Here on the Mac Show every week, and I'm on Mac to the Future Go live cast on Facebook with Guy, Cyril, and Warren Sklar on Wednesday nights as well. And then you can on Twitter, you can find me at DaveG65. Yeah, great job, Patrice. Thanks for pulling us together.
Thank you. Thank you. Callum, where can people find you?
You can find us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the socials at immmax. You can drop us an email at info@immmax. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm in the Slack room. If you've got any questions, need any help, just reach out. We're more than happy to help.
Awesome. And yeah, as always, yeah, head over to I'm in Max if you need anything, cloth or not, as I've just heard. So that should be one of our show titles. I have to come up with something.
Cloth or not, yeah.
Yeah, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show every Friday, and also on the Big Show every Thursday. everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. Very easy to find. Easier than spelling my last name, which is actually what it redirects to. I have a podcast called Foodie Flashback, where I talk to very interesting people about food and food-related memories. And I've talked to all of the people here on the panel, and David's odyssey through Chicago restaurants and food is hopefully soon to be released. Like I'm trying to work on it and get it ready. And yeah, you can find this very podcast and all the other podcasts on the network on britishtechnetwork.com. And please support us there. There's a very convenient PayPal button also in every episode. And we have the news show from that Kyle does every weekday at least, 5 days a week from the Philippines. So it's available really early in the morning for all of us, or early in the morning for all of us. Actually really early in the morning for the people in the US. When they wake up, it has been around for a couple of hours already. And yeah, we pay him for that because it is a lot of work and he does that really, really well. But yeah, we need your support for that. So head over to britishtechnetwork.com and yeah, click on the PayPal button and give us whatever you can spare. Yeah, thanks everybody. Thanks for listening and see you next week, hopefully with Ewan again.
And Jeff.
And Jeff. Yeah, Jeff will be
there. Jeff, yeah. Good job, Patrice. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Especially going from sleeping to podcasting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was better than before. I would have been really tired.
It was a group effort. We got you the links too.
It's true. Yes, you did.